Good Columbus Day. This is Amy Toy, and of course the show is Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest, Reiki Master and fellow BBS radio show host, Ruth Ann Mack. She's going to be discussing different healing modalities on Reiki and some other things that she's great and well-versed in, and we'll talk to her in just a moment. And I've got a few announcements before we interview Ruth Ann. You can find me on our new website, angelanswers11.com, or you can email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, Angel Answers with Amy, or Twitter, at angelanswers11. And you can call me if you want a reading or whatever at 1-855-851-3405. There's the 1-800 number. And Ruth Ann and I are going to be taking callers on the second half of the show. So if you want to call in and you know, ask any questions, 1-888-627-6008 for those in the U.S. and Canada. And outside the U.S. and Canada is 530-413-4522. So welcome, Ruth Ann. She is a Reiki master. She is very well versed in Reiki, Karuna Reiki. She's a shamanic practitioner and teacher. She does other modalities. Welcome, Ruth Ann. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity. And I'm fine today, and I'm just very glad to be here.
Yeah.
Got a little allergy problem, so if my voice gets a little rough, it's excuse me, it's just my allergies.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, it's a change in the weather and the seasons. I had a sinus headache myself. So, So, Ruth Ann, you're also a fellow BBS radio show host of Well Rounded Corners. I listened to some of your show this morning. It was really cool.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so, Ruth Ann, tell us about your healing journey. How did you come? Sometimes it's good to get the backstory and how people came to where they are today. I'm sure that you have a story. And would you mind sharing some of that, pieces of that journey to us?
Well, sure. I'd be happy to. I've been very sensitive ever since I was, since I was born, apparently. And it was really hard because that was back in the 60s, and it wasn't really okay to be sensitive. And it wasn't okay to see people's guides or their energy or, you know, just be very sensitive to the energy around you. Excuse me. And so I pretty much tried to ignore that, although it was hard. And I went into biology. I worked in the hospital, respiratory therapy. I have a biology degree, biology education, and earth and space science. I've always been fascinated in anything medical or biological. So I started out in the sciences, and if you had told me back in my 20s and early 30s that I would be doing what I am now, I would have laughed, and I would have said, you know, if you can't prove it, then scientifically, everything you do, then I don't want to hear about it. And then I realized that there was a lot more to life than that, and I went on my own healing journey. I had a lot of childhood abuse to heal from, and I realized along the way that even though therapy was wonderful, I realized that if you don't release the energy that goes along with whatever traumas happened to you, then you still carry them around. And I was fortunate enough to have some friends online who were Reiki masters, and one of them sent me Reiki one day. And it was so amazing. I really didn't expect to feel anything. And it was wonderful. After the experience, I drifted off to sleep and slept 12 hours. And I never do that. And I was just amazed. And I thought, well, I have to learn this. So my healing journey really began with learning Reiki, becoming a Reiki master. Then I went on after I had my practice. I started my practice. And after I had worked on people for a good while and realized that this was amazing, I went on and got my Karuna Reiki Master. Then I got my Lahochi training. Lahochi is very interesting. It's another energy modality. And then I realized that I was called to shamanic work. And so my practice is a combination of my intuition and all the modalities I described and a little bit of everything thrown in there. I just ask my guides and see what a client or a student needs, basically.
Excellent. Yes, we're going to go into each of those healing modalities and explain to our listeners what these different, we hear these, you know, Reiki's thrown around so much. I think that's
yes.
the most commonly used, Reiki healing modality other than the other ones you had mentioned. I know about Karuna Reiki because a friend of mine did that, but I never knew the depth of it. So what is Reiki exactly? What kind of healing modality is that?
Well, Reiki started as being called Reiki in Japan, and the person who discovered it, I guess you could say, was a doctor, was a healer in his own right. He had studied many religions. Basically, he was the type of person that just wanted to know everything that he could know in order to help people. And so it has changed quite a bit since he first, started using it and started teaching other people. But the basic idea is that we all are surrounded by and made of energy, and that the life force, the energy from the universe, is inside us as well. And the way I like to look at it is that, the way I like to explain it is that, let's say you come into a room and two people have had a really big argument. Well, they don't even still have to be in the room, and you're going to know that something bad happened there. It just feels bad. And that energy is so easy for us to take with us. You know, if we were abused when we were little, or if we had a traumatic wreck, or even a parent screaming at us, and all these kinds of things can just stay with us. And as you know from all the energy work you do, after a while we've got so much of this with us that we can end up really sick. And I work with a lot of clients who've carried these things around. And so what I do with Reiki, what Reiki is not my energy. That is the beauty of it. I don't have to know which bone in your foot is broken or why does your abdomen hurt. What I do is just allow the Reiki to flow through me. I personally go by the hollow bone procedure that a shaman does, and that's basically saying, you know, I'm a hollow bone. This comes through me. This is not my energy. And I allow it to flow through me to the client or the student. And it is wonderful in that the Reiki energy is gentle, subtle for the most part, and sometimes I don't really know what needs to be healed, but the Reiki goes wherever it's needed. And it can be just as in if you were getting acupuncture, they don't always put the needles right where the pain is. It depends on where the energy needs to go to help you heal. And basically what I love about Reiki is that what I try to do for my students and my clients is teach them with the Reiki and allow the Reiki to work through them that we have so much ability to heal ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people dependent on me. I want to empower them so that they can heal. And so that, and along the way, I try to teach them ways that they can stop carrying all that energy around with them, you know, the energy that they don't want and that, that keeps them, holds them back. So basically, the Reiki is what we would describe as universal life energy. And it flows through the practitioner to the client. You can send it in person. You can send it anywhere you want to send it. I've sent to Russia. I've sent to Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic. I've sent to Alaska. You can send it anywhere you want because if you think about it, energy has no time in space. Humans made that up.
Yes.
So it's just amazing to me what I see with my clients. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I find it interesting that you and I, you know, we've had traumatic childhoods or we've had abuse or we when we heal ourselves, we want to help the others, you know, with the journey. So I find that interesting. And I noticed that you facilitated different groups with sexual abuse. Is that true?
Yes. Well, yes, I have. I used to work with our local rape response group, and actually I still do, but in a different capacity. And I find that so many of my clients, I mean, they don't all come to me for that reason, but they're just like I used to be and still am, for that matter, that, you know, we carry that energy around with us. And, you know, you go into a relationship. Let's say you're engaged to someone. And if you've never gotten all the energy from whatever happened to you off and released and you're not open energetically, then how can you not carry that energy into your relationships? And of course, if you're the way I explain it to people is that we see everything through filters, and we see through the filters of the things we haven't released yet. If I got divorced, let's say, and I'm still very angry at my ex because he cheated on me, how can I not take that to my next relationship if I haven't released it and see all men or see my new partner as, well, he may go cheat on me? I mean, it's very hard not to do that. We're human. And so when we can start to heal from those things and, you know, remove that filter, then you know what? He may not be such a bad guy, the new person. And we may actually be able to be happy with someone and not see them as potential cheaters.
Exactly. Yes, I totally agree with that. You know, being on my own healing journey, you're right, therapy didn't do it for me. I had to go to a healer, you know, myofascial that she does, which is the muscle pulling, and that helped tremendously. And I feel like if you can do, I always tell my listeners, if you can do that, you know, with anything, with Reiki, IET, whatever it is, that is going to help kind of move you on your journey a little faster, you know, and help release that stuff, because you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to carry that into your present and future endeavors. You really don't, or relationships. I think it's very important. You know, so, and you had mentioned that how do you think the long distance Reiki works? You just say you send it somewhere and it just knows where to go. I find that amazing.
You know, my husband is a math person, and so he thinks in, you know, math terms, and he got, since he's had plenty of Reiki from me, he gets that. That's no problem because he feels it and he's seen it work and so forth. But the distance was kind of hard for him because he couldn't get that idea. And so I understand from watching him and from my own skepticism at first why that wouldn't make sense to a lot of people. But what you basically do is you either picture the person if you know what they look like. You can hold their picture between your hands, although I never do that. I usually picture the person on my Reiki table, and I give them a session just as I would. There are basic hand positions that we use, and it's interesting if you look at the energy meridians, if you look at the chakras, you find that the hand positions basically correspond to that. But the way I teach Reiki, my education, by the way, my biology education was as a teacher, so I can't seem to help myself. If I learn something, I always want to teach everyone. But when I teach Reiki, I always teach it as to listen to that little voice inside you, that if it says to you, go to their feet, you know, I don't want you to stay at the hand position. Go down to your feet, because that's part of what Reiki does, is give you the guidance to help you know where to put your hands and how long to stay there. And so when I send it distance, there's a symbol. We have symbols in Reiki, and these symbols, you know, you can look at them many ways. I look at them as, when I was attuned to the symbol, you know, was it magic? No. What it did was associate my intent, and we all know how important intent is, to send that frequency of energy to the person I'm sending it to. And so what I do is just allow the Reiki to flow. I visualize the person in one way or another. You can even use a stuffed animal as your, you know, your client. It's different depending on the person. But what happens basically is, and this is the amazing thing to me, the person... I worked the other night. I sent to a friend who's very skeptical. He just does not, you know, he doesn't even believe in traditional medicine. He would just rather be sick. But he was so sick that he finally gave in and said, please, would you send me some? And so I did, and I visualized everything that was going on with him, and, you know, I helped him cough up a bunch of stuff, and it was pretty intense. And the next day he said, well, I have to say that I can breathe now. And I really didn't know if I was going to live. He's very sick anyway. And so I have to say that, to me, I used to be to where if I did not understand every single part of every single thing, then I had a need to keep explaining it and keep researching. I still have that need. But now I realize that, you know, however it got there, it got there. He didn't know what time I was going to send it to him. And he still knew when he got it. And in the middle of the night, he woke up coughing everything up and could breathe. And to me, I can't give you the dynamics of it because I don't know those answers, but I know that when I send it, it works. And so at this point in my life, I've gotten to where that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
oh yeah, I do.
You know, it went there. He got it, and he didn't have to be taken to the ER.
Wow.
And so, all I would say is basically that, as I said, you know, if you think about it, humans, we made up the concept of what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the universe doesn't care if it's 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or midnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you think about a time and space, the way I look at it is this. When I work on clients, sometimes they have a lot of bad memories from their childhood. And with Reiki, especially Karuna Reiki, I can help them bring up good memories. And mm-hmm. they don't know that's, I don't say this is what I'm about to do, but the work I'm doing helps them do that. And so they begin to see that their childhood was not all horrible. I mean, there usually are some moments in there when it isn't so bad. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, and it's remembering those good things instead of the negative things. And that's where I think in my journey, that's what I'm trying to come to.
Right. And so what I'm saying is, let's say a person remembers skating as a child, ice skating. Well, if you think about it in a way, you're back there. I mean, we do kind of go back and forth. We think about the future, where we'd like to be. We can picture ourselves on a beach if that's where we'd like to be. You know, we can picture ourselves as a small child getting yelled at, or a small child skating, or playing with a friend, or holding a frog. So to me, I think I've come to the understanding maybe with myself that we really can kind of be where we want to be, because the universe doesn't always play by human rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah,
if I... And the beauty of it is I can also send Reiki back to when the trauma happened. I can't
mm-hmm.
make it go away, but I can ease the trauma of it. And I've had clients tell me, you know, I still remember almost drowning, but I'm not scared of it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Taking that trauma out of the trauma, maybe we want to say, you know, it's...
Right.
It's, yeah, it's... I think you come to a point in the healing, too, that, like you said, you go back to... the good points and not just the bad. You heal those bad, maybe those traumatic experiences, and you can remember the good. And I remember as a child, I'm a Pisces by nature. I am a Pisces, and I'm a big
fish. I am too.
And I remember just going in the water all the time and,
yes.
you know, swimming and being, I just, that was my natural state, you know. Now that I'm thinking about that, me and the sandbox are friends, because that's what I like to do is play in the sand and go on the beach, you know.
Oh, how interesting. I'm a Pisces too, and that's what I did
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Very
you know?
Healing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, my mom would call me the big fish, you know. She goes,
yes.
There's my daughter, Amy, the big fish. You know, I'm like, okay,
yes.
I love you too, Mom. Bye, see ya.
You know? Right. I was the same way. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So
it's very healing.
It is very healing. And, you know, even friends of mine who are readers, you know, and they'll say, Amy, you need to go back by the water. That's probably why I live by the, you know, the lake here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you know, that's great, going back to your childhood and remembering the good, not the bad. So let's go into the different modalities, if you don't mind. You know, I'd love to go.
Well, there was...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Okay.
Yes, I'd be glad to do that. There was one thing I wanted to say that you made me think of something. The beach. You know, when I took my level one Reiki, the first person I ever worked on was a friend, and I didn't know her very well. And I remember not quite, I don't think I quite understood the concept of totally stepping back and letting the energy flow. And she was so anxious all the time. I remember thinking, wouldn't it be lovely if she could go get on a beach? That you reminded me of that with the beach. And, you know, it's funny. Afterwards, I asked her. This is way back at the beginning when I didn't know any better. My first teacher didn't really go into all of that, so I didn't understand it. And she said, you know, it was wonderful, except one part. You know, I was on this beach, and I thought, oh, isn't that cool? And then she said, I am terrified of beaches. I was attacked on a beach once. And every time I think of a beach, I'm terrified. And that taught me a huge lesson, that because a beach is wonderful for me, it may not be for a client. You see what I mean? And so I really had to learn to step back, let the Reiki do what it needs to do, and let them go where they want to go.
Right, because their internal, I call it the, you know, your intuition or your internal teacher
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, may guide them. Like, maybe they like to go, I don't know, maybe they like to go in the forest and walk amongst the trees. Maybe
right.
they need to be amongst the earth and or whatever. We like water, okay? We're water
right.
signs, you know. We may need to go to different things, and that's, you know, that's what I tell my clients, too. You know, listen to your own intuition, because
right.
that's what's going to guide you. And people are like, well, I don't trust it. Well, but if you're getting this nice, subtle feeling to do something, do it. And then you're
right.
going to do it.
And you know, that's what I love about Reiki too, because yes, I do have people have things come up that sometimes they do get emotional and that type of thing, and we can work through it. And the beauty of Reiki is that while I'm giving them Reiki, they can kind of drop those filters, like I said, of fear or anger or bitterness or whatever, and they can think a little more clearly and relax a little bit more so they can process better. And also, the nice thing is that Reiki doesn't always work. You know, you don't sit up from the table and go, oh, I'm fine, I'll never have another problem. But what happens is it's very subtle and gentle, and I find it's excellent for someone with anxiety because they don't feel threatened because it's so gentle. And someone with past abuse issues, it doesn't feel like an attack or an intrusion. There's no, we have to sit and talk about what happened to you. There's no, you know, we have to process this with words. It just goes in there very gently. And they may realize the next week, they come and tell me sometimes, you know, it's really funny. My husband did his usual try to pick a fight with me, and I didn't have any, this time I didn't feel angry with him. And I just think it's very interesting how it's so gentle and it's so subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as, you know, and I, as I tell my clients and everyone, you know, sometimes the healing journey, there's different things will crop up, and it's mm-hmm. just like an onion being peeled away. Every layer is being peeled
yes.
away and peeled away and peeled away. And, you know, it could you go back to past life stuff, too. You don't know.
Right.
You know, we carry, you were mentioning carrying from this lifetime. It could be from other lifetimes as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we don't even know where we get. Maybe we don't like, we go by the water and we never had a drowning. Maybe we had a drowning in a past lifetime. I had
mm-hmm.
a client like that. And it was weird. It had gone down many lifetimes, but we get to clear that lifetime, but within this lifetime. So sometimes
yeah.
you just don't know where those traumas are. And sometimes you don't need to know where they come from.
And that's the beauty of it to me. I don't have to know what happened to them. If someone comes in and doesn't tell me one thing about themselves, I am perfectly fine with that. You know, if they want to, that's fine. But otherwise, I just say, you know, we've talked a moment. Let's just get started. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever is supposed to come up that day will come up. And it is, as you said with the onion, whatever is supposed to peel off. And the also the joy, I think, too, of Reiki is that it's not going to bring up things you're not ready to heal with. It's going to help you with what you can handle now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be a... It is funny, sometimes at the end of a session I have people go, you know, it's really funny, I was just lying here thinking about some situation in their lives, and I was just lying here thinking about that, and you know what, I don't really have to always do what she says. I can say no, and it's okay, and I think, isn't that nice to be empowered that way?
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is, because, you know, you just want to go on your path and stay on your path, and sometimes people want us to go on another path. Maybe it's their, you know, their journey,
right.
and we want to stay on our journey, on our path. So I think that's wonderful. You know, we can just, everybody has, we're all going to wind up in the same place.
Right,
we go in different journeys to do it, you know. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I didn't mean to ignore your question earlier.
Oh, no,
just,
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. You can jump in any time. Not a problem. Karuna Reiki. Now, this is the reason why I'm asking this, because I had a friend of mine that had years ago when I was taking integrated energy therapy. She talked about Karuna Reiki. So what
mm-hmm.
I'd never really asked her. Maybe I wasn't, you know, thinking at the time or whatever. What is
sure.
that? You know, let's explain that. It's interesting to me anyway. So.
Oh, sure, it is. And, you know, I hadn't heard of it at the first, you know, when I first started taking Reiki classes. And then as I went along, I read a bit about it. And I thought at the time, I thought, you know, when I get my Reiki master training done and I'm, you know, doing my own processing and learning, I'm not going to need that. That just sounds like something I wouldn't be interested in. And it's really funny because several months later, I just was totally pulled to read about it more. And you know what that means. When you're totally pulled to do it, it's time you
uh-huh.
go do it. So
yeah.
Karuna Reiki is based on the Usui Reiki that was started in Japan by Dr. Usui. And it is, the way I look at it is, if you have your Reiki master training, and you have you're a Reiki master, you have a set of symbols that you use. You do wonderfully without them if you choose to not use them at a given time. You use whatever's appropriate. But it's a different level of energy each symbol is, and it has a different feeling to it. And after you work with the symbols a while, you realize that, you know, clients who have, let's say, anxiety, this symbol works wonderfully with them, and so forth. But I found that I got to a point where I wanted to find out more about Karuna. And Karuna is, was, I guess you could call it discovered or organized, begun, however you want to put it, by William Rand. He is huge in the Reiki field, and he has studied many places. And what he did was he and many of his healers, or many of his Reiki masters that he taught and worked with, they were trying to see if they could basically add more to what they were already doing. And so Karuna is what he came up with. And Karuna basically means compassionate. And so Karuna is compassionate Reiki is basically what it means. And there are more symbols, higher level energy. And the lovely thing I think about Reiki, about Karuna, is that there is one symbol that is wonderful when you are using that energy level for kind of breaking down when people are afraid or not sure, or, you know, if you lie down on a table and you've never had Reiki and you're not sure what to expect, it can be a little, I don't know. Will I feel something? Will I won't? Will I not? What could happen? Especially if you've got a lot of issues. And you know how we build up our defenses. And so that symbol kind of helps break those down. There are wonderful techniques for addiction, for serious mental or physical issues. I say psychological issues, you know, the abuse, the relationship issues, anxiety. And the nice thing is that what it does is take your level of healing, that your level of work that you've been doing, and it expands it greatly. And I find that if I use Usui Tibetan Reiki, which is what I learned, and then I add the Karuna to it, the healing is just amazing. It takes it to a whole different level. So I kind of think of Karuna as if Usui Reiki were the bachelor's degree in Reiki, let's say. I kind of think as Karuna to be the master's. You know, so that's the way I kind of look at it. You build upon it. And you really have to have the basic Reiki master first, because if you don't, you're really not ready to work with that energy. It's just my view on it. And so it's only taught usually after, it's only taught to people who already have that. But it was started in the West. It's just based on, you know, the rest of the Reiki, of the Usui Reiki.
Okay.
And I didn't expect to find it as I did. I thought, oh, this is wonderful and it's nice, but I found it can really be very profound, the healing with it. So I definitely am glad that I learned it.
Yeah, I noticed that. The going back to the basic Reiki, how many levels are there that in order to gain your master Reiki? How many levels are there?
Well, back in Japan, when Dr. Usui first started, he did it differently than we do. So I will mostly explain how we do it now in the West.
Okay.
There is a level one usually. I mean, there's always a level one, a level two. And then you can either take under some lineages, which just means series of teachers dating back to Usui. You can take level three, and that is equivalent to what I teach as ART, or Advanced Reiki Training. And then if you've taken ART, your next level would be Master. If you took level 3, sometimes they call it 3A, and the difference between ART and Master would be that, okay, we take level 1, we take level 2, and level 2 is where you learn to send distance and where you get your symbols. Level 3, you get another symbol, or ART, but you don't learn to teach it and to attune other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say attunement, the process of learning Reiki is a very simple one. You know, the class is all but the master class that I teach are one day long. It's my children, who are 8 and a half, are both attuned to level 1, and they know they're excellent. They love to give Reiki. So it's not something hard to learn, and that's another beauty of it. The attunement is the way the teacher passes on the ability to just let it flow through you to the student. And so when you take either that 3A level in some lineages, or in my lineage, the master level, the second day of the master level, you're taught to attune other people and teach. So you basically take 1 and 2 in either 3 or ART, and then you take the master level. So that's basically how it works. And then, of course, if you take Karuna, there are two levels to that. If you take other types of Reiki, there are other groups, other types of Reiki too. I just haven't chosen to go into those because I went more the shamanic route. You know, everybody has their path, and that one just called to me. So mm-hmm. So that's basically how it works. I hope I explained that in a clear way.
Yeah, you did great. No, you did great. Yes, you did great. Yeah. I know, sometimes all these levels, you know, you get to this and that, and it's like, okay. Just,
right.
You know, and how do you?
And I think it depends on what you're going to do with it. I mean, yeah. There are some people who take level one, and I don't have very many students at all who don't really, really want to go on to the next levels because it's just a wonderful experience. But if you want to give to yourself, or you want to give to yourself and maybe your close friends, and that's all you want to do, and you don't have any interest in teaching or having a practice, that's wonderful. And the more people that can learn that, that's why I do it, because I just want more people to experience it and learn it. And if you didn't want to go on and teach and attune people or have a practice, level one and two, you can give to yourself, you can give to your friends, you can send distance. And so some people go that far, and then some people just feel that pull to do more. So it just depends on what your path is and what you're ready to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, of course, the real learning begins after the class, because then you get adjusted to your energy being different, and you learn, mm-hmm. you know, this when I do it this way, this seems to, you know, help someone more than when I do it this way. It's allowing the energy to go through, but you also have to use your intuition to do it the way that works best for you, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And some people, they're just like, whoa.
Right.
I know. I did. You know, when I took all the different levels of Reiki and then the IET, it's like your vibration. I don't know. It's like your vibration goes up, and sometimes
yes.
It's like it takes a while for your physical body to catch up, I think. So.
Absolutely. After every class, there's a cleansing period, and you know, people basically need to take care of themselves. And if they need more sleep, they need to get more sleep. If they, you know, find that they emotional things come up or whatever, then I'm always there for people to talk to if they need to. And, you know, and that's when you adjust, as you said. And it does, sometimes you think, wow, that's different.
It is different.
Felt
yeah,
that way.
You're like, whoa.
And, you know, some people ask me, when I learn Reiki, will I start being really sensitive to everything around me? And that's going to be strange. Will I start doing the things you do? You know, they see me do shamanic work, or they see me do some advanced Reiki techniques, and they'll say, am I going to do that? And it's good in a way, but they're also a little afraid of that. And I tell them, you know, you choose to do what you choose to do. This is not out of your control. When the more you're aware of what's around you, the energy around you, when you're carrying it, how to get rid of it if you don't want it, you're safer. And you're not more sensitive in a negative way. You're safer and more sensitive in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I make sure they understand, so they're not going into it thinking, am I going to be so sensitive to things around me? See, I've been so sensitive. When I would go to Walmart, that to me was a horrible place to go. And I'm not picking out just Walmart. I mean a big store. Because, you know, I'd feel all these feelings come at me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just overwhelming.
Oh,
but
I
knew you'd understand that. But it's not now. You know, because I've learned how to make my energy bigger, and I've learned how to, you know, give them back their stuff because it's not mine. And so
exactly.
Now,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Right.
I know. I had a friend of mine that, you know, wrote about going to Walmart one time. That was funny. She had a blog. It was quite funny about, you know, hearing voices at Walmart or something.
Absolutely. I don't really want to know about the argument you guys had before you left the house this morning. You know, it feels like an attack if you're really sensitive, I think. But learning Reiki to me helped me, you know, learn to turn that down. And to let it stay outside me so it's not mine. And then I can shop without thinking that, oh my gosh, without feeling just totally overwhelmed. So
exactly.
So I think it really does help. And here's the thing, too. I would rather know what's around me than not know. I feel much safer that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, yeah, and I'd rather be that way, too, but sometimes with the heightened sensitivity, it's like, whoa, you know, you have to shield yourself and, you know, do
mm-hmm.
different things. At least I do, because, you know,
yes.
I do readings for a living, so sometimes
yes.
I'm doing readings for a couple hours, and I'll go out, and I forget to shield myself, and it's like energy will just come at me, and I'm like, whoa.
Yes. And then someone reaches to hug you or shake your hand, and you go, whoa, I didn't know you were going to do that. But, you know, the shamanic work has helped me with that, to learn to be more in control of that. So that's helpful.
Okay, well, why don't we segue into the shamanic work then? You know, what is that? You know, how can you know, people? Because I feel I'm part Native American. I've been drawn to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, my dad's side, actually, he does not like to let people know that. You know, it's like, Dad, that's really cool. You're part Native American. He's like, where'd you know that? You know, it's my dad. I love him. But I think it's cool. And he's like, I think it's the generation he grew up in.
It probably is,
yeah. Yeah, it is. But anyway, talk about the shamanic practice in our
Well, when I give Reiki, or when I do any energy work, I mean, I do everything from pull cards for people if I feel that's appropriate and they want me to the shamanic work, to Reiki, to Lahochi, to a little bit of, you know, I'm not a therapist. I've had a lot of psychology training, but I'm not a therapist, so I don't do therapy. But I have enough background in it to understand, you know, there are some things you don't say, some things that would help, and that helps. So anyway, so the shamanic part, I realized I was kind of already doing it. I've always seen people's guides and seen, you know, I've always had people who had died come to me and ask for help. I've just always had that.
Oh, I believe we have a caller. Is that okay?
Yes,
hello.
Fine.
Okay, great.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. I've had a number of different energy work done, polarity, Reiki, and one of my questions or my issues is that I find that it doesn't last. And I guess my question is, how do you know how many times you need to see someone or how long it should last?
Well, the way I do in my practice is, for one thing, first off, the client is in control of it. The client, you know, what I try to do is help you. If you came to me, I'll just say what I would say to you. You are in control of your healing, and you have the ability, your body, your energy field, you can help yourself. And so what I'm going to help you try to do is to see, to learn to listen to the little voice that tells you what you need. So what I suggest is that people come for two or three sessions. And what I do is, for instance, the first session, I just give very gentle Reiki, and I listen to my guides and see if there's something else that would help them, what I might tell them or a technique I might teach them. I would teach you how to brush off energy. We learn that in Reiki. You do that in shamanic work, and it's amazing. So that in between sessions, if you felt depressed or anxious or whatever, brush that off. Make a conscious intent to brush that off. Don't take it with you. To ground yourself, I give you ideas and techniques for grounding yourself, and that helps between sessions. I give you suggestions of what to do if you have anger issues, what to do if you're feeling angry, or what to do if you're feeling stressed or anxious. And those things, plus the Reiki that I'm giving you, it can make a huge difference. You know, there are things you can do to take control of those times in between. And then after you've had two or three Reiki sessions, usually you have a pretty clear idea of something that you might want to release. We can work specifically on that, something that is holding you back. And Reiki is wonderful for releasing specific things, too. There are techniques for helping pull off the energy. The shamanic work does that too. And therefore, in between sessions, you have new skills and new techniques and new coping mechanisms that can help you not maybe keep the same level as when you're lying on the table and it's so wonderful and you drift or you're warm or whatever it is you feel, but that you let the Reiki work better for you or whatever other energy work I give. And then after two or three sessions, you pretty much have a good idea of where we need to go from there. And I don't think there's any set. I've had people who've come for a couple years, and they started out once a week or twice a week. Now they see me maybe once a month or just whenever they need to. And most people, when they get to a certain point, find that if this is something that really helps them, they learn it for themselves. They take a class. And then what happens is they give themselves Reiki. And so you have it in your control to listen to that little voice and find out where you're called to go, what seems to work the best for you. And then I work with you. I might journey with you, or journey for you, rather, if you felt that, you know, there was something that you still wanted to bring back to yourself, or that you still wanted to release. You know, I just kind of, I let my guides tell me. I journey for you if you need it. I have so many different techniques to use that I think in between sessions it's not going to be the same, but you get to where there's enough Reiki that you've had after a few sessions that you start feeling, you start living your life differently. You know, you may not want to argue with somebody that you would have. You may not mind sitting in traffic. You know, life just starts looking different. And then you know which way you want to go. Does that help?
Yeah, no, it does help. So I guess I would follow that up with, so when I'm working with someone like you and you're releasing those blocks, are you releasing, mm-hmm. when I see you the second or the third time, mm-hmm. are you releasing a new block or are you still working on existing?
Well, it's kind of like Amy said, you know, we are kind of like onions, and that's the way I look at it, too. And what I would tell you is that, you know, let's say the first time or two that I saw you, we would really be mostly working on stuff that you've carried around with you a long time. And I don't know any of us who don't carry things around. It's just human nature. And so what we would do is start peeling that onion back. And some people have a really big, thick onion, and they have carried, I see some people who are so physically ill, so emotionally stressed, they've carried so many things around for so long that it does take a little bit longer. Because here's the thing, I would never go all the way down to the core, pull something out, and leave you with all that other stuff. Because what comes up on a given day, at a given session, is exactly what was supposed to come up for you that day and what you were ready to release. And so what I do is put Reiki back in so that you never go from a session feeling lost or not grounded or that you've lost something. We want to have you feel a healing process and not that I've lost things. So what we would do is work on, for instance, if you came to me and said, I've got a lot of anxiety, I've got a lot of anger, I had some really bad relationships, or I can't seem to make it at work, or my kids drive me crazy, or whatever, we would gently go through those issues. And when you found, oh, you know what, I think I'm still mad at my ex, then we could work on releasing that. So the Reiki is going to go wherever you need it. I don't even need to know. And then we can also work on specific issues at the same time. So the Reiki is the constant that is going to be flowing and helping you with whatever we work on. And then the other techniques I use are to release specific things. Does that help, or did I miss part of your question?
No. That was exactly what I was wondering.
So it's a gentle process, but there are times when big things do come up. You know, I've had people just, and see, then the other layer of it for me is that, you know, I've had a few times when people, I had a client back a long time ago who had lost a child way, way, way back, and when she was in her early 20s, and I saw her in her 60s. And she didn't even realize that all that time she had just missed that child and mourned that child she never got to back at the time when she lost the child. It was very early, like a tubal, you know, tubal pregnancy. And the child grown up, you know, who knows? I don't know time and space, but all I know is that I had no idea this had ever happened to her. And this, she got a visit from this child letting her know, you know, you are a mother. You never thought you were. You're my mother. You always have been. I'm very proud of who you are, and please don't mourn for me, because I wasn't supposed to be where, you know, there physically with you. I was supposed to be here, and I have a job where I am. And, you know, I'm your son, always have been your son, and you are a mother, and don't ever feel like I'm gone because I'm okay. And you add that to the other things that she was healing from, and wow, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she didn't even know that's what was still so sad, making her so sad. And
right,
so,
right.
But we didn't do that the first day. And I didn't, and they wouldn't do that. These things don't come up until it's the right time. And then I filter what I say by what my guides let me know is appropriate. So there are all these things going on at the same time, and what I try to do is filter and let the client experience what's the right time, you know, what's the right for that, what's the right thing for that day. And it's not just me doing it, it's the nice thing. It's my guides and the Reiki. And so we put all those things working at the same time, and it's just an amazing process. I love it. I just wouldn't want to do anything else.
Okay. All right, well, thank
and
you.
I'm so glad that you called, and I hope that that helped answer your questions.
Oh, no, it did. It definitely did.
Great. Thank you very much for calling.
And I wish you the best.
Yes. Wow, that was a good call. Yes. That's
yes.
a good question, actually.
I'm so glad she asked those questions.
Are you there?
Oops. I'm here.
I don't, okay. I don't know what that was about. Anyway,
sometimes I find it's hard to put into words
mm-hmm.
a concept because the concepts come in, sometimes they're words and sometimes they're not. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sometimes you know, like I said, everybody has their own intuition
mm-hmm.
or internal teacher. You know, I call my spiritual team, my entourage, whatever.
Right.
They go with me, you know, wherever I go.
I like that. I like that one.
Yeah, my spiritual entourage, you know, we go around and, you know, whoever steps forward, you know, comes forward. So, yeah, you want to, like, kind of tune into that. Or,
yes,
you know,
yes,
as best you can. So, and we were talking about the shamanic practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is that different? You know, you said that's a different facet of Reiki.
Well, it's not really Reiki.
Yeah, that's
But, you know, I mean, it's really not Reiki. But it works wonderfully well with Reiki. For instance, when I'm giving someone Reiki, sometimes I do have someone from their lives or from their family or some message for them. And that kind of goes over into the shamanic area. And so I've learned shamanic techniques so that I can safely work with anyone who shows up. And I can journey for clients and journey with clients and help them with soul retrieval, with past life issues. There are so many. We are such incredible creatures. We just are. And there are so many layers to all of us, the energetic, the physical. It's just amazing to me. And what I like is the shamanic work is more of, it's like a different way of looking at it than Reiki is. You look more at it from the spirit aspect, I guess, and from the I would call it a bit more ceremonial than Reiki is. It's just a different way of looking at things. For instance, I love that in a shamanic culture. If let's say a child falls and breaks a leg. Well, within a couple of days, this isn't a big deal to them. This is just how they live in some cultures. The shaman comes and takes the child, takes them to wherever he does or she does her work, and would help her to get any little fragments of him or herself back that might have been lost when, you know, that's very scary to fall and break your leg. So the child doesn't have to go through life with that trauma. There's no loss of any part of him or herself, the child. Let's say you got attacked or something. The shaman would take you and help you release the energy that went with it, make sure that no, you know, fragments of yourself were lost during the attack. And there are specific rules of how you're safe when you journey for people, how you're safe when you speak to those who've crossed over, how you help someone cross over. If someone shows up at my house and needs help, I mean someone who's already died, the shamanic techniques help me know how to safely help that person without endangering myself. And if there's energy released during a Reiki session, the shamanic techniques help me to make sure that there's no energy sitting around my house, that if someone needs to be crossed over and needs help, if they're stuck and they haven't gotten to really pass on and go on where they need to go, then I can help them safely. So all these things all work together. You know, just as what you do, they all work together.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I'm doing a reading, sometimes healing energy needs to be given to the client. And
yes.
just There's a certain way, I can't explain it. With IET, I do my IET thing with the angels. And I'll say, can I send you some healing energy? And they're like, oh, definitely, you know.
No, please, 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 yes.
Yes, please send me as much energy as you can, Amy, and I do it. And, you know, then I'll get a call, you know, a week or two later, and they'll be like, Amy, I'm feeling so much better. I don't know what you did. I said, it wasn't me. It was,
yes,
you know, angels or wherever who was working with me, so. Yes.
And, you know, you had brought up the angels. The Lahochi, actually, I see them as light beings, but many people, when they work them, see them with wings as angels. I guess it's just your frame of reference, but it's the same thing, in my opinion. I mean, it's the same idea. And Lahochi is another energy modality, and it is, you might say, working with angels. And it's very intense, and it's more of a male energy, I find. And it is also an amazing experience. Then I add that to the other techniques, and I just, you know, when I begin work with someone, I ask to open up my sensitivity to anyone that's positive, any kind of positive energy, positive, compassionate being that has any messages or would help. I ask for any of that, and angels are one group that I ask. And so when you put all of that together, it's just such a beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm. It is. It definitely is. It really is. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the healing modality, and I'm glad you segue into that.
Well, I had never heard of it until I was going to take Karuna, and the person who taught me Karuna happened to also teach that as part of the Karuna class. And I had never heard of it, and I read up on it, and Michael David Lawrence discovered it in about 1991, and he was trying to find, trying to find some more healing, some ways to help people, and these angels came forward. And they called themselves the Lahochi. And so he started using the techniques and started teaching them and passing them on. And I, once again, the skeptic in me went, you know what, I don't know about that. But you know, it comes with the Karuna class, so I'll do it. And when I started working with that, it is amazing to me. I see the light beings, the angels. I actually see them when I work, and my hands always look silver to me. They don't to anybody else, but to me they do. And it is such an intense energy. I love to use it when someone has an injury or a lot of pain. I mean, it's for other things too, but it's kind of, in my view, the big gun. And what happens is it feels like that, you know, that onion we were talking about. It feels like I can feel it, like if someone has a migraine, it's like I see and feel, it's like the scalp peels back, the next layer peels back, all the way down to where the migraine is, and I feel it work on it, and the client will say the same thing, I can feel exactly where you are right now. Of course, it's not me, but where the energy is. And then whenever I'm finished, I can feel it come back out on those layers. And it's just a very intense but still gentle energy that is on a totally different frequency. And I actually see those light beings or angels working with me when I work with it. And it's incredible. Mm-hmm. So that just gives me another tool in my toolbox is the way I like to put it.
Yeah, exactly. I like to get my toolbox out and we'll see what the wrench needs to be today.
Right. And since I just ask for any positive help and any compassionate beings that want to help, I never know whether they're going to say, you know, do this or we'll help with this or whatever. I never know. And the nice thing is I don't really have to. I just have to know how to help them do it, you know, how to do it the best I can for the person I'm working with.
Wow. Yes, it's amazing. I just, you know, when you get on to the your own healing path and you want to learn about these things, you will be amazed at the people you help. That's what I love helping people. It's just like you help people, you help them on their journey. Maybe you're just, you know, a person they meet on their journey to go to the next level or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes I was an attachment of things, you know, attached to people. And after a while, you just get detached, you know. It's like, okay, this person was on my journey, and they're, you know, I'm on their journey to help them and gently let them be pushed to where they need to be. And it's amazing.
Yes.
It really
and that is another shamanic part of the shamanic work that I like, that the saying for shamans is the three parts to anything that you do for someone. And number one is, may I? And that is, do I have your permission? Number two is, can I? Am I able to do it? Am I going to do this in a safe way for everyone? And is this appropriate? And number three is, the should I? And, so, you know, that I've really had to live by. It is so hard when you want to help people not to try to fix them. You know, that's a real temptation. And you have to learn to step back and go, you know what? If she's not ready to do that, or if that's not her path, it is none of my business. And I have to let her live hers. You know, that I think is a challenge when you really enjoy helping people.
It is. It's learning boundaries. It's learning. It is. It really is learning. And it's just amazing. So we're running out of time, unfortunately. I'm enjoying this. I'm learning a lot myself. That's why I love this show. It just, I bring on people that I can learn. And this has been a wonderful journey, too. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you? Where's your website?
My website is www.alabamareiki.com, and I'm on the web there. And my contact information is on there, and I work from my home, so that's a lovely thing. So my home stays nice and light and happy. And I am happy to help people with whatever they like. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me on. I just want people to learn about these things so that there is no reason to live your life unhappy.
Exactly, yes. I have your information posted on the VBS Radio.
Thank you.
Angel Answers for the next week, so, and then we'll take it from there. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time. You have a blessed day, and everyone
else. And
out
thank
there,
you for asking me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day, everyone. May the angels be with you. Bye-bye.